in conversation with our pal Rob Volman. The book is Stat Shot. It's available at Chapters, Indigo, Walmart, wherever good books are sold. You will find it online at Amazon and his website, hockeyabstract.com. Matter of fact, it says right at the top, Hockey Abstract presents Stat Shot. Well, let's do this. I'm tiptoeing around it because I want a third and fourth running of this book, so I don't want to give away too much. But we went to break, and I got at. There is one chapter I want to get into because it is, to me, it's at least in my neck of the woods and my privy, seems to be the most controversial topic when it comes to analytics and hockey, the heart, the eyes, as to what, you know, reality and science says, however we want to describe it. But you asked the question. Actually, no, you don't. Ian Fife does. Sorry. But Ian asked the question, who is the best shot blocker, right?
Right.
Tell me about this chapter.
Well, you know, in a lot of these chapters, you'll notice my theme is the same. I ask a question.
Yeah.
I don't start with a preconceived answer, or yeah. Ian, in this case, we don't start with a preconceived answer. We start with sort of the traditional, conventional sort of wisdom. We try to establish what that is.
Right.
And then we try to think about, from there, what are some of the factors that could influence these results? Like what could artificially, in this case, boost someone's numbers,
right,
or pull, drag them down or pull them sideways? And we identify all those factors and we say, okay, well, how can that be measured? And then how can that be accounted for? And then we do that. And then at the end, we have sort of the results. And, you know, part of the fun thing is 90% of the time, the results are pretty consistent with the traditional view, right?
Yep.
But the fun part, of course, is that 10%,
yep,
where we think a player is particularly overrated or particularly underrated, and that's really where a lot of the fun of these chapters usually lies.
The one note, the only note that I made that involves the word I disagree, the only note comes in this chapter. We're going to examine this off-quoted but little scrutinized statistic. Little scrutinized? What world are you living in? Not you, but...
Well, it's not scrutinized in the sense that no one is pushing back on the shot block statistic. No one actually says, you know, well, how is that recorded, and is that an accurate...
Oh, so I misinterpreted the term scrutinized, because I was like, yeah, that's the most scrutinized statistic I've seen.
But are we subjecting it to scrutiny? Are we actually saying, wow, did that actually happen? Is,
well,
that being measured properly?
And it comes up in this, and it comes up, and you know this is one of my favorite topics because I've seen it with my own eyes, and that is building bias.
Yeah.
And how statistics are collected around the National Hockey League.
Well, let me ask you a few questions then.
Please.
If a player fires a shot and it's blocked, but it would have missed the net, is that a blocked shot?
No, it shouldn't be.
Okay, if someone takes a shot and it's blocked and it goes right back and the guy gets the shot anyway, should the first one be a blocked
yes,
shot?
Yes, because he blocked a puck on the way to the net.
What if it was a pass towards like a guy waiting for a one-timer right on the doorstep, but a guy blocks that? So it's kind of like one of those
takes
shot
away?
Passes, one of those shot pass sort of things, right? Is that a block?
Wait, okay, but which part of the shot pass are you talking about? So if, again, Rob, if you're off to the side of the net and Kelly's passing you the puck and I just happen to stick my leg out and redirect it, no. To me, at least how I interpret it, and maybe I'm wrong on this, it's the same way as what if a puck hits the post, that's not a shot on goal. If a puck can score, if it can find space, that's a shot. If a puck is blocked on the way to the net that could be a shot, that's a block shot. Am I wrong?
What if it's not a complete block? What if the player takes a shot and it's partially blocked, but it still gets through to the goalie?
It's not blocked.
Yeah. Well,
No. I understand exactly what you're doing. You're asking me, and I have no problem giving you the opinion.
And what about if two players block the shot? What if it goes off two players? Who gets the block shot?
To me, it becomes almost like the conversation of tackle. You know, who tackled the guy in football? Well, we'll give him credit for tackling it. You and I stand side by side, right? Yeah. And a puck hits us. Then it becomes kind of this subjective, well, it probably hit more of his pant than it is his
exactly.
pant.
And the whole point is the opinions that scorekeepers are going to have is going to vary. And we could ask questions like this all day. We could come up with hypothetical scenarios all day. And
agreed.
It's going to be different in one rink to another.
Absolutely.
So there is a rink bias, right?
Absolutely.
And there's other biases as well. Like, for instance, right here in town, Chris Russell blocked a lot of shots. But then I mean, compared to someone like, say, Brody or something. But then you also have to ask yourself, well, when Russell was on the ice, the Flames were getting bombed with shots. Whereas when Brody was on the ice, there was one shot, and then
right.
he'd carry it out the ice.
Right, which is why I love that you included this included this topic in the conversation.
Right.
Or in the book, I should say.
Right.
Because, you know, and again, that's why I go back to I read that line, little scrutinized. No, it's not. To me, this is, because you're absolutely right. I mean, I have it on fairly good authority. The Flames aren't going to be blocking as many shots this year.
Well, you just, quite frankly, you should only block one. Block one and then take it out of the zone.
Right.
If you're blocking more than one, that's...
To me, it's a very admirable quality. I got to be honest with you. The first guy that ever impacted me blocking a shot as a fan was Craig McTavish.
Okay.
Because I couldn't believe a guy with no helmet was dropping down to block a shot, was literally diving to block a shot. And, I may be way off base, but a blocked shot was always a guy who double-stacked his pads and slid in front of it. Ludwig, McTavish, somebody like that. What it has become now where I'm going to goaltend and, you know, Lance Boma, God, love him. Don't throw your hand out there to knock a puck down, right? Don't pretend you've got a blocker. Don't, yeah. you know, stuff something in your pants so you can get in the way. That's, to me, it's evolved into this, which makes this topic so fascinating to me because I was one of those guys, and you know my history with analytics. Well, I'm a little skeptical. Oh, you guys, there's something heroic about stepping in front of a puck. I'm just sorry, there is. But that was never, it was never about heroism. It was never about somebody's, you know, strength of character or their bravery. It was about what's going on around here.
Yeah, you know, it's part of the philosophy of what we write about in our books. The first rule of hockey analytics, as written by Alan Ryder of hockeyanalytics.com, the first rule of hockey analytics is that wins are the only stat that matters. That's the only stat that matters is wins, not heroism, wins, right?
Right.
And then the second question, and then the second law is that goals scored and prevented explain 95% of your win-loss record. Goals. So basically, goals are the only thing that really friggin' matters. Right. And then the third thing is, from there, is that goals are very rare. It's only 5 a game.
Right.
So that's where it leads to shot-based data and all that. So
when
you're looking at shot blocking or anything else in any of my books or articles or anything I ever do, everything is tied to wins, usually via goals, because what you're really trying to achieve when you're blocking a shot is you're trying to win a hockey game. If it doesn't win the hockey game, I don't care who's the best.
Right. And we I believe the determination in this is that Chris Russell is...
He is, yes.
Yes.
He is the best shot blocker.
Which is, to me, again, back to him as a topic, is so polarizing. Because there are still a crowd that goes, see, I told you, he's the best. And there's another crowd that goes, see, we told you, he has to. Right?
Yeah.
You know, and I know part of, again, I'm not going to give away too much here, but part of the conversation is system, too. What's the system that he's playing in? What's the requirement here? That's why I say I've got it on good authority. They're not going to. I don't think Glenn Gullitson's going to play the same system. As a matter of fact, I know he's not going to play the same system as Bob Hartley. And I know he's not going to ask. If you have to, yes, but it's not a requirement. Whereas it was a requirement from Bob Hartley, Chris Russell played in that system.
Yeah, blocking shots is like bailing water out of a boat. It's good to bail the water, but you have a bigger problem.
Right.
Yeah. There's a hole in
your There, yes.
And the hole,
right.
quite frankly, last year was bigger with Russell than with, say, Brody.
Right.
So he bailed more water, but he also had a bigger hole.
But is it fair to? Here we go. I'm going to fall into that. No, I'm going to fall into that trap, which is the defensive. Not trap. I shouldn't say that. I like Chris Russell as a hockey player. He can play for me. All of those sort of things. But he's become very polarizing, right, in this conversation. And the whole idea of, you know, of, is that all he is? Is that all Chris Russell is a shot blocker?
That I would say that's a larger part of his game than any other player in the league.
And that was with two organizations at the time of the book, right? That was the numbers came from St. Louis and Calgary, correct?
Yeah, I always use part of my legacy, of course, is I always use 3 years of data when I look at individual players, not one. One's too little.
Yeah.
Five, you're pulling in old data.
Right.
Always use three.
Okay. Six problems with plus minus.
Yeah, we talk about plus minus.
Yeah, I
love it. Of course, because we're bringing in mainstream fans. We start with what we know, Which is plus minus, and then we evolve. I believe you're looking at the chapter on everything there is to know about shot-based metrics, but we're afraid to ask.
Yes.
You start with plus minus because that's a stat. It's been around for a long time. We know its flaws. We know how to use it. We know how to adjust for it, and the same mentality can help you use the shot-based stats.
Okay. Kelly Kirsch is sitting right to your left. He's off microphone, but I want you to turn and ask Kelly this question. Ask Kelly, in his opinion, what is the most one-sided trade of all time? What is the just most one-sided trade of all time?
Was it here in Toronto, Cliff Fletcher, Doug Risebrow?
Okay, That's one. I don't know. Would you put the Gretzky trade in that as a one-sided trade?
Yeah.
That's right, right?
Well, yeah. But that was more than
yeah. It. Okay, so it wouldn't surprise you if I said to you that what was the most one-sided trade of all time? It would not surprise you if I said the Wayne Gretzky trade.
No, that wouldn't
from Edmonton to LA.
If you're just saying just straight trade.
Straight
not,
trade.
Not other stuff going on.
Okay. And Rob, is that in the top 20?
The Gretzky trade is not.
Rob, is the Gretzky trade in the top 100?
For those of you with a copy at home, we're looking at pages 311 through 316, and no, it is not.
Can you?
I saw you flipping. I saw the Gilmore trade there.
but here's the interesting thing. The Gilmore trade where the Flames got Gilmore is higher than the Gilmore trade where they lost Gilmore.
So okay. It was more one-sided when they acquired Gilmore than
that
when they
correct.
Gave because that one still stings here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that was... That
There's
was
still a, people bitching about that.
But it
that.
Was a shrewd to get him here, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they got him. It was like Bullard was the only. It was Bullard, Corkery, and Cox, and Bullard was really the only thing they gave up. And they got Gilmore and Bozak and Hunter, and Dark.
What about that Perry Barzan trade? Where does that line?
And is the Barzan?
It is in here.
What is it?
There is a trade here where Barzan was involved. I can't.
No. Well,
I seem to remember, but I can't find it.
There's an asterisk beside it.
By the way, Kelly, your the Gilmore trade, I've got it here on page 315. So it is Gilmore, McCowan, Manderville, Natras, and Walmsley for Pettit, Gadinyuk, Lehman, Reese, and Berube. Oh, my.
It hurts just to spell it out, doesn't
it? Oh, it just really does.
Yeah.
It's like a bunch of people turning off the radio going, I didn't want to get reminded about
that. Yeah.
That
was kind of bit of a holdout situation, as I recall.
My funnest part of that, doing that chapter, though, is that, like, of the 20, so I break down basically the 20 most one-sided trades and have a list of the 100.
Right.
But I found that, like, most of the top 20 most lopsided trades in NHL history all were tied together. About 12 of them were tied together to one event, which is when the Los Angeles Kings signed the Detroit Red Wings signed Roji Vachon from the Los Angeles Kings as a free agent way back in the day.
And there was so much ripple to that?
And yeah, it created this big ripple and a whole bunch of one-sided trades over the course of the next 10, 20 years, all essentially stemmed from that one move.
Do you want to give away the 100 or the top, or should we just leave it?
Well, there's got to be the Guy Lafleur, what turned out to be Guy Lafleur. It's got to be in there. It's got to be in
that's,
there.
That's
LA.
Near the top, yeah.
It's got to be in there. Because that was that set the Kings back like a decade, if not more. That was a whoops.
Yeah, that's in the top 20, I believe. I'm trying to find the exact position here.
Brutal.
The number one is not one people are going to guess. Should I give it to them? Because they're not
going to
guess.
What's your book? Do you mind?
The number one's not, because most people I talk to guess the Lindros trade, which was number three. That's a good one, right?
Okay.
That's a good guess. Or the Dominic Hasek trade. People like to say that one. That one was fifth. Those are good picks.
Yep.
But the number one most one-sided trade, people are going to stumble on this one. The Los Angeles Kings, when they lost Roji Vachon, they needed a goalie. So they went up to Boston. They said, can you give us Ron Graham? And they gave up. You know who they gave up?
They give up the pick? Is it the pick or the player?
They give up the pick used on Ray Bourque.
There's another one.
Whoopsie daisy.
All righty.
And Milbury was not involved in that one. Either, you know?
Again, Rob, congratulations. Because I think, I don't, this is Rob Kerr's opinion on Rob Volman's book. I think that chapter, better than any other chapter, illustrates the theme and the kind of what this book is all about.
Fun.
Right. A hockey debate. This is, let's just take the sports bar argument and let's add some information to it.
Yeah, another perspective. Let's bring some life in.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
This is fantastic. Did we cover? I mean, we didn't give it away, but did we cover enough, do you think?
I think so. I think the main thing is it's called StatShot. It's available.
That's the biggest thing. StatShot, it's available at bookstores right now. You can get it on and online at Amazon. Mentioned Walmart. We mentioned Indigo Chapters. Your site, too. I want people to check it out, and you can get buy it there at hockeyabstract.com. Congratulations on a second run of this for a book that came out on Tuesday. You got to feel awfully proud about that. Let me finish it with this. Of this entire process, of all of this, what is the proudest moment or the proudest part of this journey for you with this book?
I think it's just reaching so many people. When I was a young boy, I had Bill James Baseball Abstract, yep. And I just swallowed it whole, and it was how I got into reading. It's how I really helped flourish my interest in math, and we all need hobbies, we all need interests. It motivated and inspired me, and really what I'm excited about is all the people this is going to inspire, and also just bring, and even if you're not interested in being inspiring, just the extra little bit of fun it's going to give you about a hockey game in the coming seasons, and that's really the best part of the book.
Congratulations, StatShot, available in bookstores now. Rob will rejoin us for the upcoming hockey season beginning on Thursday with our Hockey Abstract segment. We're going to have a lot of World Cup stuff to talk about here in the next couple of days. And you've written a lot already, have you not, for
yep.
NHL.com?
Yeah, I did a statistical take on it, and I'll just give you one sneak peek for those of you that like numbers. NaturalStatTrick.com is my data source. People have asked me where I get all the fancy stats about the World Cup.
Yep.
NaturalStatTrick.com.
Okay.